He sure did. Bruins improved to 1-1 on the season with a 6-4 win over the Montreal Canadiens. And as you just heard there from Judd Surratt, indeed, the fourth line shining in this one as Kostelec had the goal, two goals as a matter of fact. Koepke with a couple of assists. And Jeremy Swayman, the Bulldog, as he was so dubbed by a one Miss Celine Dion last year in the locker room, which I totally forgot about that until he just said it, had a not great game. I don't want to say it was a very good one. I don't think that he looked particularly awesome out there. 20 saves on 24 shots and a couple of early ones there. They got the first one off the power play, which, you know, you give a little break there. That second one, the Caulfield goal, where he was just standing there untouched behind the net, just poking at it.
Yep.
Like that, I mean, Swayman's got to get over there, obviously, but can anyone mark the guy? Can anyone push him out of the way? Can anyone stop him from insisting on scoring that goal? And then in the second period, I thought Swayman settled down a little bit, lost the plot a little bit there in the third as things got a little dicey, and then Kostelec with the second goal of the night that put that one out of reach with about 4 minutes left to go in the game. What were your overall thoughts on that one? Another one where they had two goals on the board before you made it home.
Yeah, that was my first takeaway, is what the hell's going on here? That's what they do. I don't know that it was the dramatic, hopeful reset that I was looking for when we were down at scores yesterday. You got the win. That's mm-hmm. good. I thought there were portions you played well. I thought they controlled the puck early. Then they had that one goal waved off for goalie interference. So I thought that was a little misleading. I thought they actually played better early than the scoreboard indicated. I think I love that Lindholm's involved first two games. I think you're already getting return on investment from Lindholm. I don't love the defense. You've played two goalies and you've given up 10 goals mm-hmm. in two games.
Yep.
Like, you're giving up 5 goals a game. What you think of all those and how involved the goalies are, I guess that's probably debatable. But I would say we talked about it yesterday. What's supposed to be the strength of this team, or one of the strengths of this team, is the defense corps. And I don't think they've been great.
No.
You can't argue they've been great. It's not what I think. They aren't.
Andrew Peak last night? I mean, every single time he touched the puck, I felt like he turned it over.
Yep.
Carlo was not great about that either. Both of them had, I feel like, at least a handful of giveaways each. I didn't think that McAvoy was as questionable as he was in the first game. And Zadorov, I thought, had a nice game as well. But in the offensive zone, too. And McAvoy, again, with another goal. So I think that, you know, you're starting to see him take a little bit more aggressive actions there, getting into the offensive zone and getting shots up, which we had a caller yesterday talk about, and I agree, is a good thing for this offense, especially when they're struggling. Other than that, Elias Lindholm with his first goal. Pasternak had a goal. And it's a Montreal Canadiens team that I don't think is very good on the second night of a back-to-back. You're supposed to beat this team.
Yep, and you did.
I would have liked to have, you know, seen maybe a little bit more on the from the defense and from the goalie, though.
Okay, so let's just flip sides, though. Mm-hmm. A couple nights earlier, a 5-1 game became a 6-4 game.
Right.
Here, a 5-2 game became a 6-4 game.
Yep.
Do we treat them the same way?
No,
because we said the Bruins didn't really come back. It was kind of garbage time.
This wasn't garbage time, though.
Okay. No, I know. I just want to.
It was 5-2 after two, and then when they scored the two goals, there was still like 5 minutes
yeah.
left.
No, I know.
With one goal, you know, like that still to me was a game that was not in garbage time yet.
Yeah, and I didn't. Swayman, I said all summer when I was talking about May, like he was fine. Mm-hmm. Some days he'd be fine plus, like a little bit better.
Right.
I thought Swayman was kind of fine. You know, I'm not really surprised coming off of a lack of practice. Well, yeah, two practices, like the whole contract situation. He was trying to be feisty. He had that was at the end of the second period where he was kind of going at it.
Yeah.
And like, against
Florida, they were down 6-2 in the third.
Yeah.
Right? With like 5 minutes to go or 3 minutes to go, and then they scored the two goals. So that's different from what we saw last night.
I just want to make sure we're consistent.
Like, absolutely.
You know, with garbage time and
sure.
kind of evaluating it. But no, I think Swayman. It was fine. That's a building block. It's probably like get a win, get in front of the home crowd. You were talking about this. I didn't get a chance to see it. You felt like there was a rounding ovation for Swayman.
There was when he first got introduced.
So no ill will with the fan base.
Doesn't seem like it at all. And that's interesting to me, too. And also, you know, you hear from people, callers, people on Twitter, stuff like that. The people who are going to the games still, Bruins fans going to those games, they can be critical fans. But they're gonna back their guy. You know,
they're gonna
back their guy 100%. That's the truth. Same thing with Tuukka. Even as frustrated as people got with Tuukka Rask, you walk into that building and you would think Tuukka Rask hung the moon, you know? Like that's just the way it goes. It's gonna be like that with Swayman too.
And when you want them to be like the guy just signed an 8-year contract.
Absolutely.
You wanna boo him? You wanna like, you know, add some sort of salt to the wound of the relationship.
You don't have to boo him, but it was a big ovation. Like
you
it
should
was
want
the,
to
it was
though.
The biggest
your
ovation.
Guy. Embrace yeah. him. Like
absolutely.
Until he gives you like tangible reasons to not be happy with him, Like, and I was as critical of him as anybody. But now he's your goalie for the next 8 years. He's the guy that's going to decide in many ways how good your franchise is for nearly a decade, right? So you should be wanting to cheer him on, wanting to support that, like giving the benefit of the doubt of optimism to him, and then take it from here. And that game last night I thought was a benefit of the doubt first game. If he plays like that in 3 weeks, then I think people are going to be like, what the hell happened? Like, you know, how much damage was done with you in the holdout or whatever. So it was fine.
Yeah, it was fine. It's a good way of putting it. They are back in action again tomorrow night at home against the LA Kings. They will take on the Florida Panthers again on Monday at TD Garden. And it's a day game on Monday.
Yes.
So there you go. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll continue with your Patriots-related phone calls. Tim is in Hanover. Go ahead, Tim.
Good afternoon, Christian and Andy.
Hello, Tim.
What's up?
Christian, I want to say, man, you couldn't have put that pregame scenario any better for Sunday.
Okay.
And I do want to say, Andy, on your end, I do want Drake May to do well. I've been one of those nervous Nelly guys, and I hate to be. I've never been negative in my life. But the thing, it's been a mess. I just want May to have a great game, do well, and then I want one thing out of the Pats. I want the scouts to start scouting all those guys on the team and make them a better team and give them X's or check them so we can do the rebuilding process that we need to do and start it, like, right now.
Yeah, I'm sort of with you. I think this rebuild now, the second rebuild, it's rebuild number two, really, if we're keeping it funky here since Brady left.
Yep.
This one needs to get moving here before it gets so stuck in the mud. And I think that's part of the reason why you go with May at this point. You don't want the offense to just be so dysfunctional, so stuck in the mud, that no one can come in and fix it. Like, there's still a chance to salvage it. And I think people look at that not just for the offense, but for the whole season. Like, there's still something here you can salvage, maybe. And Drake May is the guy, the only one, as we've pointed out over and over again, the only real improvement that you have sitting on that bench.
Can we put a pin in that? I actually like that idea for a segment. That was sort of like, you know, those lasers that, you know, in a factory do quality control, and like if there's a bruised apple, it like shoots it out the side and the good apples keep going and then they get to your grocery store. I think quality.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds cool. Yeah.
You don't watch a lot of like food shows and stuff like that?
Not with lasers shooting apples.
Yeah, they have all these lasers and like there's usually a puff of air, and if like a bad piece of fruit or a bad piece of candy comes through, it like poofs it off into like the garbage because it's not up to standards to be sent to the consumer.
Okay.
I think that would be an interesting thing to do with this roster.
Okay.
And, like, guys that we think are here for the next X number of years, foreseeable future, are part of the turnaround or part of what you hope this team's going to be in a year or two, and guys that are really just filling out roster spots for this year and whatever, maybe competing for camp body status. Because I think they're not all 53 that are here even close to are guys that you want for the future if you get to where you want to be, competing for wild card, competing for the division.
I agree.
That's a good idea by the caller.
That is a good idea. And I think on offense in particular, you got yourself a real youth movement going on. I mean, there's young players all up and down that offense. You drafted all offense in the draft, basically, and you have some other guys there still in their early, you know, mid-20s that may or may not be part of the team going forward. So, yeah, it's a good question. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. The Patriots, in case you didn't know, are playing the Houston Texans on Sunday, a Houston Texans team that drafted a young quarterback, inexperienced, the second overall pick, turned things around immediately, and are now one of the most feared teams in the AFC. Gerard Mayo talked about the Texans and how much he looks up to them. We'll talk about how the Patriots can be like the Texans next.